start this morning with this idea that God is good. Everything God does and all His attributes are good. Created this world, everything that's in it, and every day when He finished that day's creation, He'd look back at it and say, it's good. Right. Even down to man. He created him, He's good. God never made a mistake. Don't have to back up. He's always good. Isn't that amazing? It's pretty hard for us to imagine in our little minds. I mentioned that He created man in His own image and it was good. But man messed it all up. Of course, man is created subject to vanity and that's what he did. That didn't take the Lord by any surprise either. But man messed it up. The only way that man then could do any good is if he be in Christ Jesus. Outside of that, there's no good in man. All his works are no good. He can work and he can work and he can work and he can be a good moral fellow. But he still comes short of the glory of God. I'd like to read a few scriptures this morning and see a few of these things. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Kind of jumping off point here. Begin in verse 12. Say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Now, this scripture that is talking about is a picture of the goodness of God. God's good work is complete in Christ Jesus. He just mentioned that also. His good works are complete in Christ Jesus. He said, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, all the Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's good, isn't it? That's the goodness of God. You know, you understand that's what grace is. It's the goodness of God. His good works toward man. Outside of that, man could have no good works. The scripture is kind of strange. For lack of a better term, he said, work that you might rest, but work, but don't work to enter into rest. It's kind of twisted up, isn't it? But a man enters into rest that he might work. What? he's rest in his own works. These things have been twisted and turned and confused. As one group said, you can't work for your salvation. That's a true statement. Another group that said, well, if you just do this, 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 and they go back to the law, the same people that have tried to get rid of the law, go back to the law again and say, thou shalt not. And you keep these things. What we'd call good works. But in the eyes of God, it's not good works. Because man falls short of the glory of God, he doesn't have any righteousness in him. Amen. Not any. He's completely shut off. He's an enemy to God. Yeah. And outside of saving faith and study of the Scripture, holding to them, he can't do anything that is good. This is the very opposite of God the Father. He's nothing but good. And man is nothing but bad. He's fully on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
Can do no good. Now in verse 17, after this instruction in righteousness, he said that the man of God may be perfect. But what is his perfection going to do? He said it's going to thoroughly furnish unto all good works.
Yeah.
Now, how do you do good works? How do you work the work of God? That's the question for every man. Do you work, just be working? Or do you work because you're at peace with God and you want the extension of God to go forward, that he may be glorified? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 11, we'll begin there. For he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them with glory in appearance and not in heart. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That most of what is going on today is in appearance. If you can put on a good show. But it doesn't have anything to do with heart. There's no good work there. Unless it be from the heart. That's the only way good work can come about. That it be strictly from the heart and that of God. He said, for whether we be beside ourselves, it's to God. Or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. I mentioned this extension of God the Father in his people. That's good work.
Right.
But what is the good work? It's preaching of the gospel. Love the Lord. And love his people. John said that's proof of your salvation.
Right.
that is a proof of your good work. But it doesn't come by man's decision. Man can decide to do good work, but he's still going to break one of those laws, which makes him guilty of all. And there isn't any good work in it. He said, for the love of Christ constrains us. That's good work of God that constrains us, that holds on to us. He said, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, this really is pretty simple if man hadn't have twisted it all up and called everything under the sun a good work. First thing churches nowadays want to do is get a man in, they want to make him a Sunday school teacher. Amen. Or a deacon. Or a bus driver. We get him busy doing good work. And we'll keep on telling him, this is good work. You keep the good work up for that. But if it hadn't been taught by the Spirit, then he can't teach good works. Because good works are of the Spirit. It's an extension of God in his people. It keeps propping them up, you understand. It keeps causing them to do good works. And good works is laying aside self. And give God the glory. 1 Thessalonians. The first chapter, verse 2. He said, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God in our Father. You work of faith, labor of love, and we say, no, we're at rest, but we work.
Right.
It's a labor. But what is it laboring for? Love. And what does that bring? More love. It's another extension of God, who is love, who is good. He'll do you good. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's the most important part. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Where is your joy? Where is your glory? Do you know I mentioned the creation to start with? That's where I'm going with this. This creation wasn't ended with the creation. Now I'm going to explain that. Every time the Lord elects another person, He is a new creation in Christ Jesus, and He's made good. But it's still the goodness of God that worketh in man to cause him to repent and say that God is good. Now he can have a little Jesus, but he can't have the goodness of God. It just won't come outside the Spirit. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Verse 9, and be made perfect. Now I'm in the wrong place. That's right, though, verse 9. He said, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. But good work is a spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you understand, we love the law, and we try to keep that law because it's good with God. But we can't do it outside of the goodness of God, which brings salvation to man by election. We're called unto good works. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. This same thing we read just a while ago. Same thing. But always we labor in love because God first loved us. And it's not grievous.
Right.
We move on, and that being an extension of Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel, it testifies of Him. And that goodness goes on from there. The book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Verse 8, every good Baptist ought to know this by heart. But I'm going to read it to you anyway this morning. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Can't work it, can you? Can't do it. That law still hangs right there with all the do's and the don'ts. And this old flesh can't work it. Mm-hmm. It can work, and it can work until its fingers are bleeding and raw, but it still won't produce good works. It'll just be dead works. You understand? That's totally different. Dead works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And certainly that's what men do today, is boast in their having let Jesus come into their heart. It isn't any letting to it. It's the goodness of God that makes man repent. And without repentance, you understand? Without repentance, there's no salvation. And he goes on, verse 10, he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, we need to keep on remembering, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That same work. But it won't get you anywhere. He said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, void of good works. You understand this is the problem with this. The reason that man tries to work these things himself is that he is at enmity with God. He's an enemy.
Right.
Just make it simple, he's an enemy. And unless the goodness of God come upon him so that he can work good works, he'll keep on trying to offer up old dead works. Keep making excuses. Keep going about either accusing or excusing. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is the goodness of God, this work of Jesus Christ, that kept the law in every jot and tittle and confirmed it, that it is good. He said, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man. So, making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Can man do good works? Not in his natural state. But God is good. And he does good works. And it's not your good works that causes you to have rest and peace with God. It's the work of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which he has sent into this world to carry on that good work of the Father. So if you forget about your old dead works and pick up that work of God, which is glorifying God for his good work.
I think that is the most difficult thing for man to grasp is that he can't work, but he must work. But when he does work, it doesn't count for anything unless it is the work of God. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth not iniquity. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What a great and wonderful thing it is. We work, but we don't work. But it's God that works in us. Wonderful, wonderful thing that we have that power of God, the power of faith, the power of belief. Believe on him. They asked Jesus that question, didn't they? What shall we do to work the works of God? And he said, just believe on him whom he has sent. You see, that is the key to being a Christian. Now, I've tried to express that many times in the past. You know, I don't get up every morning outlining what I'm going to do in order to be a Christian. I just am one. And there, consequently, you will work works of righteousness, which is, if you just want to really boil it down again to one thing, it's just loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Man can't grasp, he just cannot grasp this idea that God doesn't need man to do his work for him. President Kennedy said, ask not what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for your nation. Well, that's the idea that man's got with God. But what we ought to be asking is, what can God do for us? And then he will use us as he pleases. Again, every man is trying to do some great work, right? For God. But the great work is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will work out in us that which pleases Him.